This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The International Monetary Fund gave its annual report on the health of the American economy today. Fine is the upshot. There's a bunch of stuff we need to improve on and some things we're not doing that we should be. Christine Lagarde is the managing director of the IMF. Welcome to the program.
Lovely to be with you.
This report, while certainly interesting in what it says, doesn't necessarily say anything surprising. You guys want better productivity growth out of the states. You want us to get our labor market fixed. You want public debt to go down. There's nothing especially astonishing here in what you say we need to do.
I would disagree with that, actually.
All right, go ahead.
Let's start with the fiscal.
Uh-huh.
We say two things. We say, number one, the medium-term fiscal path has to be identified and anchored, which will allow for some short-term fiscal benefits to be available in order to support financing in infrastructure
mm-hmm.
and education, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
On the monetary front, we suggest that excellent communication be continued and developed further in order to try to match the uncertainty of employment / unemployment numbers on the one hand and the level of certainty that seems to be enjoyed by markets
mm-hmm.
and where we see a bit of a discrepancy.
All right.
And on the jobs and growth front, we're also saying things that you probably haven't heard or read us saying, which includes the increase in the EITC.
Earned
income tax credit, yeah. Coupled with an increase in the minimum wage.
All right. Well, let's take those apart. First of all, on fiscal policy, in essence, you say you are heartened that the Congress of the United States has gotten its act together a little bit, but you are not at all sure that it can make its policies stick. Is that how I read it?
Yes and no.
We're
saying great that at least the there was a deal on last year's budget.
Mm-hmm.
That is good. And please continue doing this job. Try to agree amongst yourself about what are the key budget item going forwards. And it may very well include this medium-term fiscal consolidation path that should be had.
In other words, you want more revenues to improve growth. You want us to fix our tax structure, all of those things that, again, have been said before.
They may have been said before, but we are going to continue to say it until they happen. If the voices are strong enough and if we keep at it, there will hopefully be a path for, as I said, this medium-term fiscal consolidation, mm-hmm. short-term focus on investment in the U.S. That's what we're saying, you know, essentially. Invest in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
The productivity is low, and therefore it's a question of investing in the right places. Innovation, education, infrastructure.
The problem, of course, is that when you say investment, there are those in the United States, mostly on the Republican side of the aisle, who hear government spending, and that gets you nowhere in a very big hurry.
It doesn't necessarily have exclusively government spending. There can be enough encouragement to private sector funding. When you look at innovation, for instance, there were some interesting tax breaks that were available for innovation. Certainly this one could be reinstated, and that would encourage the private sector to invest in mm-hmm. the right place. We're also saying that by identifying a good medium-term fiscal consolidation path, that will improve the level of confidence that needs to take roots in the United States for the private sector to invest, and not only invest in buying their own shares, but invest in capital expenditure, for instance, that will actually support the growth going forward.
When you say medium term, what do you mean?
Beyond 1 year,
mm-hmm.
and things that would actually stick. You know, commitments. And by the way, on the on the minimum wage, it's really based on the observation of numbers. When we look at numbers and we see that there are 50 million Americans that are below the poverty line, many of whom are actually working poor, we're saying two things. Increase the EITC, which puts a bit more on the table, a bit more income for people who typically spend income, do not save it, and that's good for the economy. And we're saying couple that with an increase in the minimum wage, which for the case of the United States is one of the lowest of all the OECD countries. So it's not as if we were proposing something that is revolutionary, but we're suggesting that more money be put in the hands of those who actually work so that they can spend.
You know, last time we spoke, which was, I guess, a couple of years ago, I asked you whether you had confidence that the Congress and the American people would figure out the right thing to do. And you said, in essence, I always have confidence in the Americans. The world has confidence in the Americans. Yeah. Do you still believe that?
Yes, I do. And it's firmly rooted in Alexis de Tocqueville and many other writers about the United States of America. Oscar Wilde, amongst others as well.
Not an American, but okay.
Not an American, no. He was a typical Brit, actually. Yeah. But he said, among other things, that youth is a tradition for the United States of America. In the same vein, I would hope that confidence and confidence building is also typical of the United States. And, it might take time, but clearly the budget deal that was cut, a few months ago is an indication that even when people are at each other's throat, they can eventually cut a deal and find something that they agree upon, which is good.
About the Federal Reserve, you want Janet Yellen, the chair of the Federal Reserve, to have press conferences once a month. You want them to publish quarterly monetary policy reports to make sure that we all know more of what the Fed is thinking. I'm going to guess that you've spoken with Janet Yellen about this over a cup of coffee someplace, or are you just publishing this in a report for the first time?
It was actually over salad that we shared, not a cup of coffee. And clearly what we are prescribing is the best case scenario and a direction to take. We're not suggesting that she gives press conference every month from tomorrow onwards. But we're saying this. There is uncertainty on the one hand, because when you look at employment numbers, when you look at the participation rate in the job market, when you look at the unemployment numbers and how fast they've gone down, you have lots and lots of questions that are not answered. At the other end, when you look at the markets and you talk to market people, they seem to be overly confident and certain of when tapering will happen and how fast, when tightening will take place and how interest rates are going to move up. Well, we believe that there has to be a reconciliation between uncertainty on the one hand, certainty on the other one, and who best than the Fed chair can do that. So that's what we're saying. You know, continue communicate well as is done at the moment, but increase the intensity and the level and the frequency.
You still have, the IMF still has, and this is a quote, financial stability concerns with the United States. Here we are now 6 years after the financial crisis, and we're still having this conversation about stability in the banking sector.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
And although, no, it's not. It's, the financial sector is a very special one, if only because it is dealing with public good, which is credit, which is, the value of the currency. And in the case of the United States, it's an international public good, given the size of the dollar transactions and the dollar as a currency of reserve. So, we are acknowledging huge progress that have been made, strengthening of the banks, stronger capitalizations of these institutions, improvement in the supervision. But we're also seeing at the same time a lot of shadow banks, a lot of intermediaries that are lightly supervised and lightly regulated. We're not advocating regulation for the sake of regulations, but we're saying that in the name of this public good that is available, there has to be a degree of scrutiny and a degree of supervision that is applying across the system and not just to the banks as defined. Mm-hmm.
Do you worry at all about the IMF being perceived as an organization that is constantly telling others what to do, being the scold, saying, listen, you have to do this so we can get here? I mean, it does seem that you guys spend a lot of time doing that.
Well, we do. And it's part of the mission of the IMF. We were tasked to do that by the founders back in the mid 40s, and as we are celebrating the landing in Normandy and the end of the Second World War, we are also celebrating the 70th anniversary of the IMF. We have to do three things. One is do the surveillance that we were entrusted to do, provide policy recommendations based on empirical research, even-handed analytical work. Mm-hmm. We have to lend to member countries when they're in trouble, and we have to provide technical assistance to those who ask. Those are the three missions that we have, and we have to continue doing it. Now, it's not always pleasant. You know, we are often criticized. We are often regarded as, the tellers of the hard truth. But so be it. That's what we were asked to do.
Christine Lagarde is the managing director of the International Monetary Fund. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.